Lou Manfredini here. Do you have cracked or sunken concrete areas around your home? Call PermaSeal for a free estimate. Don't replace it, raise it. Call 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
Shawnee, where's a good place to sleep here? You do that all the time.
Yeah, good place to sleep?
Yeah, don't you take naps during the show?
Just lost my headphones there. A good place to camp out?
Yeah.
Well, there's room down the hall here. You can do that. I've done that myself.
In the green room, yeah.
Yeah, I've done that myself.
What the hell are you talking about?
Exactly.
What? That came out of nowhere.
Exactly.
I told producer Eli
to be ready.
No, I
told be ready for anything.
He told me that he's got some OB audio to drop in, and I said, "Just whenever you want." I can't get enough. Personally, I can't get enough. So anytime that he wants to, that could be a signature of this new football season.
There you go.
That happen. OB. You're just gonna hear
just OB.
You're just gonna hear OB drop.
Yeah, OB was in regular season form for our preview show last week. And there were some doozies from that show as well, and that was just the rehearsal.
Nothing better.
Yeah,
we haven't even started the regular season yet.
Correct.
Nothing better. So Andy's tomorrow morning, tomorrow night,
and then Tuesday
morning again.
Yeah. And then who knows after that?
Wow. How's it going so far on your new?
So far, so good. Still a little.
You happy to be away from us?
No, not at all. I get to hear your voice every morning anyway, with your entertainment report at 8 o'clock.
Yes. Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So it's like I'm still with you. So I'll be around every once in a while here during the football season.
You okay with all that, Shawnee? You seem down today, Shawnee.
No, I'm not down.
He did seem down right when I walked in the door today.
I'm letting Andy explain his new position here.
You seem
He has a sign on the door that says Mr. Mazur now.
Nobody's ever called me
Esquire, Mr. Mazur.
Mr.
Director of Sports Broadcasting.
Director.
Sports director.
Is that your official
director
title
of sports broadcasting?
I don't even know what my title is, to be honest with you.
You
still, as the schedule states, I show up. Whenever I see my name, I show up. I happen to be the one putting the names in now, so I show up.
I like Mr. Big Shot.
Just who do you think you are?
Yeah, that song came to mind, Mr. Big Stuff.
Big Shot.
Who do you think?
Big Stuff.
Or Billy Joel.
Big Stuff.
Billy Joel with Big Shot.
Be a big shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Had to open up your mouth.
Yep. You don't get this kind of singing on Bob Sinatra.
No. He kind of frowns upon that. And I understand why.
Does he allow anyone to actually look him straight in the eyes?
I have worked my way up into that. I had to keep reminding him that the very first morning show he did here on WGN several years ago, I was actually filling in for Dave. So I was on the air on his first show.
So it was a return.
Correct.
To when he first started here.
Right. So, I mean, I guess I have some special dispensation because of the fact that I was here from the beginning.
When I do my segment with Bob between 8 and 8:30, I'm at the TV station, and we have a hookup, so it sounds like I'm here.
Right.
But I've been told that if I'm here, don't look him directly in the eyes. Don't.
Yeah, we kind of put the microphones down at a lower level just because of
so
that.
So we have to look down.
Yeah, so the mic has a little arm on it where it kind of bends down a little bit.
When you're Bob Surratt, you can.
Yeah.
You can make those kind of.
He's always very nice to me when I'm here. In for Steve Grzanich.
Not what he's told me about you.
Oh, okay.
See, now you put him in a bad mood again.
He's practically every time that you fill in for Steve Grzanich.
Yes.
Bob calls me and he goes, how have you dealt with him for so
long?
And
okay, yeah, right. Making this up again.
How long have you worked with him? How long have you known him?
Well... if you want the accurate count, this year is now 44 years.
That's what Bob says.
44 years.
I'm making up that's what Bob says.
Yeah, I know you are, but I'm not making it up that we've known each other 44 years.
We have?
Yes.
Wow.
1981.
No wonder I lost all my hair. I had a full head of hair when I met you, right?
Yeah, you actually did.
Yeah. Yeah, so I blame you.
We were both about 40 pounds thinner, too.
I don't think there's any need to bring that up, but it's just rude.
I'm including myself in this, too.
Mine's all muscle.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Mine's all
muscle.
Mine, too.
Mine's all muscle.
I see. Okay.
The big story this morning. Money, money, money. People won the Powerball, right?
Yes.
About time. Now I can
the $1.8 billion was $1.8 billion.
Man.
Somebody in New Jersey and somebody in Missouri.
Yes, it's Missouri.
I want to say
we say Missouri. Missouri.
I don't know why we say that, but
Missouri.
Missouri.
There is clearly an I at the end of that word. I don't know why. Would say Missouri, but that's how a lot of people there
Missouri.
Say
Missouri.
Oh, not New Jersey, Texas.
Missouri. The other one is in Florida, I think.
No, Texas.
Both in Texas.
What one is in Missouri?
Okay, Missouri,
and the other is in Texas. Is my understanding
okay?
$1.78 billion they will split.
It's a lot of money.
So each winning ticket holder can either take the annuitized price, a prize of $893.5 million, or a lump sum payment of $410.3 million before taxes.
You know, the debate rages on. Not that we won, but which would you take?
I would get it over with.
I asked somebody this question. I don't know the answer to it. If I take the annuitized prize, how long is that? 20 years? 30 years?
I think it's 30, yeah.
So if I croak after 2 years,
yeah,
where does the money go?
Is the money lost, or does it go to my heirs?
I would imagine you have to, and you have to put that in writing. Yeah. It has to be legal.
It's M-A-S-U-R, by the way. Just in case.
Schwani, you should start being a little nicer to me in case
Andrew yes. Mazur, director of sports.
Oh, Andy and Molina are already in. You're the only one that's a question mark right now.
Andy and Molina are
Mr.
in.
Mr. 44 right? years.
Nice. Okay. I guess I have to start being nice.
You know
now.
Why? Uh-huh. Andy's in management now.
Okay, that's it.
A month ago?
Forget about him.
Wouldn't have cared.
Andy would not be.
Yes, you know, along those lines, I would take the lump sum. I would take it right away, and people say, well, you can't spend it all. Well, you can't spend the other one either.
How much does that come to per year?
I think somebody figured it out the other day that it was, if at 1.6, I think it was 26 or something, 27 million.
Now the question becomes, what do you do about the taxation on this?
Oh, you pay it.
Well, yeah, I know that, but when you take the lump sum or you take the annuitized, do you automatically have those have everything deducted from it?
It's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
neither do I.
Is it automatically deducted? Is what you're asking?
That's what I'm asking. Yeah,
or you know, why? I don't know.
The withholdings, you know, because this is, you know, it's being looked at by the IRS and the powers that be, and you know, it has to be deducted at some point.
True.
Whether you hand it over yourself or if it's already taken out before you get the money.
Good point.
Yeah, boy, and like. Let's say you take the lump sum, 410. It's like 30% of that is gone,
yeah,
right?
Something like that. Should we put this question to the Bozo Pewter? Let's see what the Bozo Pewter has to say.
Stuck on that from last week.
Oh, Bozo Pewter, is the money withheld?
You are so weird.
Oh, no. See, it's calculating.
That sounds like a magic eight ball to me.
Is this one of those newfangled devices he's been talking about?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's an old-fangled device.
Newfangled device from 40 years ago.
Well, we didn't get an answer.
I'm shocked.
That's why they should have stayed with the magic arrows.
Oh, definitely.
Anywho, none of us are going to have to worry about any of this.
It's all moot.
Because it's somebody in Missouri and somebody in Texas. Who won. They will split the $1.8 billion Powerball jackpot. Somebody from in Texas, the ticket was sold at a convenience store in Fredericksburg.
They often are.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, but imagine you go in for Slim Jim and...
Yeah, I think I'll buy a ticket.
Yeah, give me a Powerball ticket, and then suddenly you have 800 and whatever I just said, 893.
Back when the Illinois Lottery used to have, you know, they were used to schedule news conferences for some of the big winners. I remember one guy won $28 million or something like that in a lottery, and he and his fiance were there. And then there were two friends that had never played before. Both chipped in, you know, $5 and ended up winning, you know, the big lotto. This is way before Powerball and all of this, you know, but they still came away with like $15 million or something like that. They had never played before.
That doesn't always and then they win amicably.
No, it doesn't.
And these
it does not.
These deals where, you know, everybody in the office puts in a dollar.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
And, you know, it gets
ugly. Yeah, often, you know, I've heard stories about friends that have done that, and then they do win X amount of dollars, but the friendship, does, you know, they can't agree on who gets what.
Right.
Yeah,
there's somebody in Missouri and Texas better be lawyering up right now, because they're going to need it. Have you ever won anything substantial with the lottery?
Yeah, I used to play
not substantial.
I used to play scratchers, and I think I won like $500 one time.
Wow!
I was down in Peoria and wandering around the mall, and I'm like, "Yeah, I'll go buy a scratcher. Yeah,
I'm going to go get a Slim Jim." And
boom! Yeah, that was right next to the Orange Julius at that point.
Oh, the Orange Julius!
I love the Orange Julius.
Yes,
yeah. I've never won anything more than a couple of bucks on the scratchers. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, scratchers. Little scratch-off games.
Yeah. And that's why we're here on Sunday morning.
Exactly.
Because none of us have
made none of us have even come close to winning.
608 area code says, you take the annuity and get hit by a bus and the money is gone. Is that true?
I don't know.
Well, if you don't have something in a will or something like that, it would be gone, or at least it would go to a probate court, perhaps.
I mean, is it yours at that point to designate to somebody else to an heir?
I would think it might be.
If it's not distributed to you yet, that you're...
Oh, that's where it gets tricky.
Are those your simoleons?
That's where it gets tricky.
And I love that the listener on our text line thinks that we're going to get hit by a bus.
That's very sweet. Sweet thoughts on a Sunday.
Everyone's got an opinion on this. Considering the time value of money, take the lump sum. The Fed takes 40% off the top.
40%?
That's what somebody on the text line says.
Whoa. That's a lot.
40%?
Yep. And if it's on the text line, you know it's true.
Wow.
To somebody.
847 area code. There is no state tax in Texas. Oh, that's interesting.
That's true.
No state, income tax?
That's what somebody says.
Huh.
What do I know?
I don't think there is in Nevada either, but there's a reason why.
847 area code. It is non-transferable if you croak after 2 years.
Wow.
I love when we use the legal jargon like that.
Yeah, you'll see that word in your last will and testament.
Whatever.
The party of the first party croaked.
What else here? Set up a trust so the payment... Oh, well, that's good. That's smart. Set up a trust so the payment continues.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
847, my dad was a banker. He always said, never go with the annuity.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, I want that. I want that cash
right
away. There
are lots of opinions on annuities anyway.
Yeah. And I want to try to cash one of those gigantic lottery checks.
Right. I tried to put one in an ATM once. It did not work.
Here's Chicago's very own WGN.
Oh, we're going to wear that recording
out.
Oh,
man, oh, man.
By the end of the season, we are going to wear that recording out.
Oh, there are more, I'm sure. Eli has spent the entire week pulling clips from various shows, I'm sure.
Nothing. I'm so ready for tomorrow night.
See? Oh, he was, man, I saw him in the hall this morning, and I said, you all ready to go? He said, man, I am so ready to go. I'm just so set.
I could not be more entertained by this whole thing. Ladies and gentlemen, time once again for your far-flung forecast, your weekly compendium, as we say, of fascinating facts and figures. And again, here is your host, Mr. Dave Schwann.
Well, thank you so much, Uncle Dean. Good morning, everyone. And it's time to get out our compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices. Because today we head to Accident, Maryland.
Excuse me?
Accident, Maryland.
Okay.
It's a real town.
Please
I'm
explain.
I'm not making this up.
Please explain.
Population 338. Mm. And because of the name, if you are a resident of Accident, you're known as
an accidental. Oh, an accidental.
An accidental, yes.
I would think it would be an Accidentian.
An Accidentian. This town goes back to the 1700s, and the reason it's called an accident is that two surveyors, Brooke Beale and William Deakins Jr., were interested in the same piece of land. They didn't know that, and when they were surveying it, they both discovered that they had claimed it
by accident.
Dun, dun, dun.
The story ends happily because Deakins let Beale have the land, and the two were friends, even though Beale claimed it first, and they lived happily ever after. So, Accident, Maryland has partly sunny skies, 54 degrees, and that's no accident.
You've been waiting all morning to say that, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
And that's not right.
Yes, I have.
I could tell. All right. That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
That's short and sweet today.
Yeah, 54 degrees, pretty much the same weather we're having here. Yeah. We'll have a high, well, of only 59 there. It's on the chilly side. But that's up in the mountains. In the
Accidentian mountains?
The Accidentian mountains, yes.
Mount Accidentia?
Yes.
Okay.
So there you go.
Very nice. Very nice. Seems like we should have a joke or something to end this, but we don't.
Nope.
So,
it's no accident, though.
Oh, jeez.
There's going to be an accident in here.
I think there was about 20 seconds ago. Maybe having a cup of coffee or a little cup of tea or something and putting in some sugar substitute, sweetness substitute. There is some links that have been discussed between sugar substitutes and dementia. Can you talk about that this morning?
Sure. Yeah, just recently I've seen a few articles come out about some studies that have been done. And it's been really interesting because it wasn't for everyone. It was actually it was for people that were sort of in middle age, like thinking 35 to 60, and that when those folks are using artificial sweetener, that they're actually showing faster decline than other people who didn't. And so it's just one of those reasons for us to think about what are we using to eat, what are we using to drink, can we use the things that are the most natural along the way?
Yeah, well, which ones are the most natural now? Because I use artificial sweetener. I use the Splenda. Or is it sucralose? Is that I think that's Splenda.
I would have to look it up. But you know, the interesting thing about this was it really was It was looking at a lot of them, that many of these artificial sweeteners were causing changes. Mm. There's like five or six different ones that are listed in the article. And so it makes me think of, are there other ways to add sweetness to your coffee or to your tea? Like, I know I like honey instead of sugar in my tea, but or even choosing things that are maybe more fruit-based than some of these sweeteners.
Like what? What would be a fruit-based sweetener that you might substitute?
So maybe not for coffee per se, but I know that I used to cook with Splenda for my mom a long time ago, but potentially finding alternatives such as using like applesauce or honey or even syrup in there instead could be a good idea.
Yeah, somebody told me that blue agave, which looks like honey in the store, it adds all the sweetness. I mean, it's very much like honey, but does not have the same effect on raising your blood sugar as honey or sugars or some of the rest. Are you familiar with that at all?
I have had people also tell me that they've really liked it, that it has added great taste. And I think this is just one of those things that you're probably going to have to try out a few different things to see what you like and make sure that you still enjoy the food that you're eating, but maybe lower our risk. And hopefully we'll find out more information about this soon.
Yeah. Are we better off using, you know, granulated sugar, just using less of it? I mean, some people can't for a variety of reasons. But, you know, if you want to avoid the sugar substitutes because of this possible dementia link, you know, what else can you do?
Yeah, no, I think that that's the right answer. And maybe just having smaller amounts of things. There's also alternatives like coconut sugar and just seeing if any of those alternatives work for you.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember back in the day, saccharin was I think it was the one and only back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then others began to come out. I can't think of the names of some of the others. And there were some studies that came out that linked them, some of the early sweeteners, with a variety of ailments.
Yes.
Some say that if you use artificial sweeteners, that it increases your desire for sweetness in food, that you're better off just kind of weaning yourself off of it. Does any of that ring a bell for you?
Absolutely. And honestly, that's what I tell people also. If you can have something that has just a little bit of sugar and not going overboard, that can be better for you than some of these substitutes. Absolutely. And then sometimes when you do that, you do learn to have the different tastes, and then sometimes you don't need it at all.
Yeah. I know I've decreased my salt intake quite a bit, and I think it's just what you get used to. I don't even notice anymore that I don't really salt my food very much anymore. It's just what you get used to, I think, right?
I think that's absolutely right. And it takes a while. I don't expect people to go from not using anything to using a whole bunch until nothing the next day. So it takes a little bit of time, but absolutely, you can learn to cook a little bit differently or try different things, and you might find that you like it, and then you're healthier for it.
Yeah, let's go to a different aisle in the grocery store.
Where the
vitamins are kept. I mean, it's obviously huge money for some companies. How important is it for us to take, say, a multivitamin or vitamin supplements?
That's a great question. And really, it's super individual. But in general, if you can get the vitamins in your food, it is better for you. And so for the average person, a multivitamin isn't actually recommended. And it's really, again, recommended to have a generalized healthy diet where you're eating all of the fruits and vegetables, you're getting your nutrients in that way. You actually absorb it better from food than you do from vitamins anyhow. And if you can do it that way, then like you said, it's a big moneymaker. It's something that you can save and spend more money on the fresh fruits.
Yeah, people just, I see people buying 5, 6, 10 bottles of vitamins, different vitamins and supplements. And I wonder, you know, how good that is. I mean, is it dangerous? Can you over-vitamin yourself?
You actually can. There are some things that if you have too much of, then you can cause problems. For example, many people will take a calcium supplement, and I do recommend that people have calcium, though again, I recommend it primarily in their diets. And if you have too much, then sometimes people will get kidney stones, and that can be a serious pain and cause trouble. And so that's just one example. And then there's some vitamins, there's some things that if they're too high, then it also can cause problems. It can cause problems with bleeding or interact with medications that you're taking from your doctor. And so it's really important to be open with your doctor about what you're taking and see what interactions might happen with what you have. And then again, just think about your food.
Yeah. What I was going to say, you know, you're talking about getting calcium from your food. Which foods would give you calcium so you can stop taking the pills?
Yeah, the ones that people think of the most are often dairy products. But you might be surprised that sometimes also some of those leafy green vegetables also can help you have calcium as well. And so, again, if you're just having a balanced diet, you're getting more of it than you think you are.
Okay. Let me take a break. We'll get some phone calls and some texts for Dr. Santina Wheat, 312-981-7200. WGN. Aspartame, saccharin, acesulfamine K, erythritol, sorbitol, and xylitol. There are quite a few. Some to keep in mind, which leads us to some questions on our text line. Is it stevia or stevia? I'm never sure about that. Is that better than others being plant-based?
I think that's a great question. And I don't know that I haven't seen any data on that one. And so I think that we know that some people have been allergic to it because it has, because it is plant-based, but I think that time will tell to see what else we learn about these.
Okay. Someone was also on the text line asking, how is monk fruit? I think that's kind of a natural one also, right?
Yeah. I think that that is one that I have not seen a lot of data on, but I am in general, I think that if you can get it as natural as possible, as not processed as possible, then that would be the way to go.
Someone is asking, is eating a couple of pieces of garlic every day a health benefit? Apparently, my grandmother texting in because she used to eat garlic. If you got sick, garlic. If you scraped yourself, garlic. Garlic was the answer to everything for my grandmother back in the day.
Well, there are some thoughts that garlic can be beneficial to your health. There's some thoughts that it can help lower blood pressure and cholesterol. But really, garlic is good because it has anti-inflammatory properties and it is an antioxidant. So there's something to what your grandmother had to say.
Yeah, and it makes you...
It actually does provide some help.
Makes you smell so good, too, after you've eaten whole cloves of it or had it rubbed on your skin. 224 area code, can the doctor recommend something for diabetics instead of sugar or applesauce or honey that would prevent spiking blood sugar?
Hi, and this is such a good question, and this is where I'm struggling for my patients too. For diabetics, I really recommend that we do our best to try to remove the sugar in general. I also always just say that moderation is okay. And so I never tell my diabetics they're never allowed to use any sugar whatsoever, but really that they should use just small amounts. And so I would stay there. I would start with small amounts and start bringing down the amount that you're having so that you lose a little bit of that sweet taste that you want.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's a tricky one.
It's so hard.
You know, and probably... if you have diabetes, you should be working with is it endocrinologist who would be your diabetes doctor, right?
You know, sometimes, and sometimes when it is fairly well controlled, family doctors just like me and internists, general internists, we take care of it as well. You don't always need a specialist, but we absolutely will work with you. And also, dietitians are great to help with that too, because they can look at your overall plan and see where it is that we can make small adjustments to help control everything.
773 area code. How effective are allergy shots?
Oh, this is a great question. So allergy shots can be very effective, and they can be very effective for so many different things, whether they are environmental allergens or whether they are food allergens. The problem, though, is that they really do require a commitment. You do need to have them for a long period of time before we're able to see all of the effects. But for someone who has difficulty with allergies, for somebody that it's impacting their daily life, then it really is something that's worthwhile to consider and to talk to your allergist about.
Yeah, you go in for one of those allergy tests, those scratch tests. Is that is that still the gold standard for working with allergies?
You know, I have seen allergists do that. I've seen allergists do some blood tests as well. I think that there is not a perfect answer, unfortunately, for these. And sometimes the different tests show different things. And sometimes it's those tests don't even show us all of the allergies. So some of it is just really paying attention to what you're exposed to every day in your food or in your environment, which can be so frustrating for everyone involved because it can be hard to find that thing.
Great info as always, Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Delner Hospital. Have a wonderful Sunday, Doctor, and nice talking to you.
Thanks, you too. Have a great week.
Wow. So the anniversary was yesterday.
61 years ago.
When they played the International Amphitheater, first time in Chicago. Man.
And I think the host was the great Clark Weber.
Is that right?
I think so.
I think you might be correct on that. Now, listen to this. They were not the only act on the bill. They were just one of, like, five different acts that were at the amphitheater. Jackie DeShannon was part of the show.
Wow.
Clarence Frogman Henry.
The blues guy.
The Exciters. The Bill Black Combo.
Yeah.
All were part of this act that held their breath for 2 hours and went over to the International Amphitheater. Because there was a little stinky back there. It was an actual, that's where they used to slaughter cattle.
I have a memory of the 1967 auto show there.
Ugh.
And getting out of the car.
Disgusting.
And it, yeah. You knew where you were.
Yeah, you knew when you were getting close to the amphitheater because you could smell it in the air. It's horrible. But get this. This is according to BeatlesBible.com because I was not there. I never got to see the Beatles perform.
Nope.
They arrived at Midway Airport at 4:40 p.m., 5,000 fans were waiting for them at Midway behind a chain link fence. They were taken into a black limousine and then taken to the Sahara O'Hare Hotel by O'Hare Airport. Well, why they were taken from Midway to O'Hare?
Yeah, that's really a good question. Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to me.
No, it but doesn't.
They did. 15,000 people watched the performance, 35 usherettes. 170 ushers carefully chosen to work the concert because they had no interest in the Beatles.
So when you applied to be an usher or an usherette
for this concert,
there was a prerequisite.
If
that you
liked the Beatles, you didn't get the job.
You didn't get the job.
According to this website.
Wow. Does it say how many people attended the show?
15,000.
15,000, yeah. Filled up the amphitheater.
Yeah. 320 police officers, fans were frisked. Large signs, jelly beans, and other potential projectiles were all confiscated. And then they sang a 12-song set, Twist and Shout, You Can't Do That, All My Lovin', She Loves You, Things We Said Today, Roll Over Beethoven, Can't Buy Me Love, If I Fell, I Want to Hold Your Hand, Boys, A Hard Day's Night, and Long Tall Sally.
Hmm.
And then they were driven back to Midway Airport.
Wow.
Well, they were at the amphitheater at that point.
Yeah.
So that I guess that made sense.
When? Yeah. This was in September of 64. Yeah, the same year they were on Ed Sullivan.
September 5th, 1964. Yesterday was the anniversary of this. And then they came back to the amphitheater in 1966. And then they played Comiskey Park, the old Comiskey Park.
Oh, maybe, yeah, okay.
Three times for the Beatles in Chicago.
64, it's 65, and 66. And then they stopped touring not long after that.
Right, right.
Eli, do you have any notion of what we're talking about here at
all?
Producer
Eli.
I'm a big Beatles fan.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
I knew you would be. I knew you would be.
I was raised right.
I knew you would be.
See?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But those, remember the Screaming Girls?
Oh, my gosh. There in that Shea Stadium in New York.
Shea Stadium.
All the footage of
Hollywood
that.
Hollywood Bowl. That was a famous one, but all encapsulated in those Ed Sullivan broadcasts where you can't even hear them singing. The screaming is so
well.
Loud.
I think Paul McCartney or maybe it was Ringo or one of the four said that they could not hear themselves on stage.
I can't hear myself singing on stage.
They could not hear themselves.
I can't smell because anything of the, because of the slaughtered cattle. Why does it smell
what
like
is that
dead,
aroma?
Why does it smell like a dead cow, Ringo?
Because there was one right by your drum set.
There really had never been anything like this, right?
No.
I mean, Elvis was big, but Elvis, I don't think, he certainly had enthusiastic fans and enthusiastic concerts, but I don't think like the Beatles, where hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people show up waiting at the airport screaming their heads off. I don't think that was an Elvis thing, and I guess Sinatra would have been before that, right?
Earlier in the, yes, earlier in time.
For each decade.
It right. wasn't that many people, and you have to remember, the really perhaps the biggest reason why was TV. You know, when Sinatra right. first came up, there was no TV yet.
Right.
You know, you saw him live in a theater, or you saw him on a newsreel, or you bought
a radio
record.
Show.
Heard him on a radio show.
Radio show, yeah.
But television changed everything.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yes.
That was pivotal. That changed everything for the Beatles. And really, pop culture.
Yep.
The music yep. we listened oh, yeah. to, the way we cut our hair, the way we dressed. It changed everything.
Yep.
Like, I can't think of another performer or arts presentation that so changed everything like the Beatles did. Back then.
Yeah, the closest, I've thought I could be wrong about this, but I was thinking Michael Jackson in the mid-80s with Thriller and the Moon Dance.
It was popular.
Walk.
Yeah.
The One Glove.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly, and continues to be possible, but, you know, I don't think, like, we changed the way we dressed and...
Well, Madonna, to a certain extent, did for young women.
Yeah. That's true.
In my era. And
that's true.
I was thinking Michael Jackson, Madonna, probably the closest that my generation had to the phenomenon. That was the Beatles. Yeah.
Schwani still dresses like Madonna.
He does.
What?
He made it through the rain and through the wilderness.
Yeah.
Oh, don't even go there.
I don't know why he wants us to call him the Material Girl, but
we'll oblige.
We do. We try to accommodate on this show.
That's enough, Mr. Mazur.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Material Girl.
Hey, watch it. He's management now, Schwani.
I know. That's why I referred to him as Mr. Mazur.
You can have that trap door underneath you opened up at any time. Careful.
Just got new batteries for the remote.
I'm not able to look into the sports studio anymore directly.
What's the best concert that you've ever been to?
Hmm.
I would have given anything to see the Beatles.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I never saw the Beatles.
I was so hoping for a reunion.
I never saw Elvis. I did see Frank Sinatra at Poplar Creek. and it was toward the end of his life. And honestly, I mean, it was cool because it was Sinatra, but he was not in Sinatra form anymore. As opposed to Tony Bennett, who I saw.
I missed him.
Several times. I saw him with Lady Gaga at Ravinia. And he was stunning, not for a 90-year-old. He was just stunning, a stunning performer. And Sinatra was, you know, showing his age at that point. But it was still cool because it was Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
You know, those were all cool. As I've said many times, my favorite concert of all time, Tina Turner.
That must have been a great
show. Yeah, you mentioned that.
At the United Center. I think it was the United Center. Amazing, amazing, amazing performance. Andy, what about you?
Yeah.
You're Mr. Concert Goer.
Yeah, lately, yeah. I think, but one of the best I saw was back in like 1989. I was up at Summerfest, and Rod Stewart played.
Ooh.
And he played nearly 4 hours.
Wow.
I mean, it was really? Just unbelievable. And he was even allowed to kick soccer balls into the crowd at that point before people started complaining about that. But, you know, recently, you know, Ravinia has been so good the last couple of years. We just saw Lenny Kravitz last month. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't know what to expect going in. I had played some Lenny Kravitz music early in my career as a DJ. He was awesome.
He's stunning.
He came into the crowd.
Yeah, he's a stunning stage performer.
He came through the pavilion.
He came off the stage.
Yeah, he came off the stage. He was walking through the crowd, and he got to the very edge of the pavilion. Was singing to the lawn folks. It was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Really.
That was a great show.
Wow. That's super cool.
High energy and great show.
They had to work that out.
Springsteen did that at Wrigley Field. He came off the stage.
Yeah.
He didn't go like way into the audience, but he came off the stage and was interacting with people, you know, toward the front.
Yeah.
Shwani, what about you? What do you think?
For a you mean for
best concert ever?
Pop rock concert?
The Association?
No. No, I never got to see them.
The Buckinghams were just at Retro on Roscoe.
No, with, right? If you want to, you know, you can talk about pop concerts or jazz or something like that. When I've seen, I would say for me, since we're just sticking with rock here and pop, would be Chicago.
Yeah, would they put be on mine. A good show.
Oh, yeah, put good. On a very good show.
They put on a good show.
Yeah.
I've seen them many, many times. But
also saw a good James Taylor show.
Oh, James Taylor is awesome.
He's awesome still.
Yeah.
He's still awesome. I saw Chicago and Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, I got to see Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Holy smokes, that was an amazing show.
Double bill. Don't they take the stage together?
They do at some point.
Oh, man.
Yeah, when they perform together.
Yeah.
One would do their set, and then the other would join them. And transition to, you know, the second band coming on, whoever it was. Here, you guys want to be jealous for a second?
Yes.
Mary, on line two, was at the Beatles concert in 1964.
Wow.
At the amphitheater, Mary?
Yes. This was at Sox Park.
This was at Sox Park? I don't think they were at Sox Park in 64.
Oh, yeah, Comiskey Park, yeah. Yeah, I was up in the rafters. Maybe it wasn't 64, 65, but I was up in the rafters, and Paul was about a half an inch tall because that's how far up we were.
But still amazing. But describe the experience.
Well, we didn't hear anything except screaming. And, but the thing I called about is, which is odd now with all the... My girlfriend's dad drove us there. There were about four or five of us in a car. He dropped us off at Comiskey Park. He said, "I'll be back for you at 10:30," and he drove away.
That's
and you can't do that now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
just dropped us off, and but I mean, I liked them when they first came out, and when they started getting with the Hare Krishna stuff, they kind of lost me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of a Beatles fan, but when I got my car and I got my Sirius, all I always played was the Beatles channel because I love hearing the stories of what they were doing when they were growing up.
Right, a lot of the behind the scenes stories are pretty cool. Pretty cool to hear. What an experience to say that you were able to see the Beatles back in the day like that. That's awesome.
Well, I'm driving my car now, and I thought, I got a call because I was there.
There you go. I'm glad you did, and I hope you have a wonderful Sunday today. Mary, thank you.
I sure will. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
WJ.
A group of people were landed and were stranded in Gander, Newfoundland, in Canada. And one of those people, one of the real-life people who went to Newfoundland was Kevin Truff. Kevin Turf, rather. Sorry. He was one of the people there. He has released a memoir about his experience called Channel of Peace, Stranded in Gander on 9/11. And he is in the Chicago area right now for the production of Come From Away that's out at the Paramount. And Kevin, it's a real pleasure to have you with us today on WGN. How are you?
Good morning, Dean. It's wonderful to be here.
Thank you for joining us. It's remarkable, isn't it, how this event has turned into a popular musical and is, you know, being celebrated in productions on Broadway, you know, all over the place, now at the Paramount Theater in Aurora.
It is truly amazing. I never would have thought 24 years ago a flight diversion would have turned into a musical with a character playing me, Kevin T., the gay lumberjack, they call me. And but it is the message is all about kindness and compassion. And in today's times when we seem to be lacking that, I think that's what resonates so much with audiences, not just in the U.S., but even around the world.
Sure. Take us back to September 11th. 2001. So you're on a flight. Where are you headed? What was that morning like?
Yeah, my partner Kevin and I were flying from Paris, France, into New York City, en route to our home in Austin, Texas, and we're about 3 hours away from landing in New York. And I'm looking at the GPS map that was on a TV screen on the ceiling. And all of a sudden, I notice we start descending over the ocean, and that's not a great feeling. And then so quick turn to the north, and again, at the GPS map, it looks like we're traveling to the North Pole. And the captain comes on the PA and says, due to a terrorist attack in the United States, we'll be landing in Gander.
Wow.
Now, I didn't even know what country that was, but it was also alarming that we didn't know anything about a terrorist attack. And, of course, this is the days way before there was internet on the airplanes. And
right.
No one had, you know, I had a cell phone, but no one had international coverage. And so long story short, a town of 9,000 people took in 7,000 refugees from 90 countries and took care of us for 5 days. So I got a glimpse of what it's like to be a refugee where you have to rely on strangers for food, clothing, shelter, information.
Yeah, so your plane lands there, and what took place after that?
Well, we were on the tarmac for 15 hours, and when I wrote my book, which thanks for mentioning Channel of Peace, I interviewed the mayor. Why did you let us into your country, into your town, into your churches, schools, homes? And he said, we weren't going to let you rot on those planes, and he said, people need help, you help them. And so they took a chance. There could have been other terrorists on the 38 planes that landed there, but and they had security. There were armed guards at the foot of every plane, and so and ultimately we were taken off the plane and put on school buses. And next thing you know, we were sent, in our case, to a community college where we slept on a tile floor with next to our other passengers in some of the classrooms. But what was incredible was that I don't think there was a stove in Gander that wasn't on, making food for all the passengers.
Yeah.
And that just kept coming and kept coming. And they gave us, you know, they took us to their homes for showers and things. And so when I came back to Texas, I wondered, would a small town in Texas or anywhere in the U.S., would we do the same?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I started a charity called Pay It Forward 9/11, where we ask people to do 3 good deeds for strangers as a way to honor the lives of people who died on 9/11, and then to tell the story of the brighter side of Newfoundland.
Yeah, it's very inspiring. I mean, ultimately, it's about charity and reaching out and helping someone. The Come From Away, the musical. And you know, the first time that you saw this show, I mean, did it fairly accurately depict what you guys went into? I mean, I'm guessing that you probably were not breaking into song and dance, sleeping on that tile floor, right?
Right. No singing. It was super accurate. I mean, there's some modifications. They say we lived in Los Angeles, but we live in Texas, you know, but these things didn't matter. They really conveyed the spirit and the sense of what was happening. And so I've been talking about it for all these years because this is the way that as humans we're supposed to treat each other and not as I like to say, back in 2002, for those that were around, they'll remember in a time before hashtags, the words United We Stand were pervasive across the world. Yeah. And now we couldn't be farther from that. There's so many silos. And so that's why we really hope that as we come up to September 11th, that people will join us in doing these good deeds for strangers. And it's a way to help break down these silos to see how we're all really connected and we're all the same.
Yeah, it's good to remember that there are such good people out there willing to help and welcome people who are, you know, in despair and in trouble. I'm going to be bringing a group of listeners out to the Paramount in Aurora tonight. We're going to see the show together. Are you going to be out there tonight?
I'm sorry, I won't. I would like to meet you. I went last night, and let me tell you, I may get in trouble for saying this. I've seen the show 112 times over 10 years in 5 countries. This production is the best I have ever seen.
Yeah, not surprised. The quality of work they do there, yeah.
Yeah, they really, now that this has been released for regional and community theaters, they get a little more flexibility to make some changes that they couldn't do in the Broadway version. And the staging, the costumes, the choreography, they have really, really brought it up to the next level. And so, you know, kudos to their director, Trent Stork, who I haven't met yet, but I'm going to have to give him a call. It's truly incredible what they've done.
The Paramount is also collecting canned goods, by the way, during the entire run of Come From Today that will go to the Marie Wilkinson Food Pantry at the end of the run. So, you know, if you're going to go to the Paramount to see the show, bring some, canned goods to help others. Really.
Isn't that amazing? How cool is that? Yeah. That, you know, theaters are embracing the message and getting involved and with the audience and asking them to not just come to be entertained, but to spread some more kindness.
Exactly.
And we love that.
Exactly. That's kind of the moral of this whole story. You can get tickets at ParamountAurora.com. Kevin, really appreciate you joining us. Kevin Turf, the real Kevin T from Come From Away, which is playing at the Paramount Theater. I'll see it, and I'll be reviewing it for you, and we'll tell you more about it. But you've got Kevin's review. Really, do you need anyone else's? I don't think so.
One quick thing. After you see the show, we have a contest where you can win a trip for two to go to see the show again next summer, Come From Away, in the town where it happened in Gander.
Oh, wow.
Visit payitforward911.org to enter before September 12th.
Payitforward.org is how you...
No, payitforward911.org.
Ah, okay, payitforward911.org. Kevin, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Have a great day today. I just had the best time at the Drury Lane for your last production, the Patsy Cline Show that was there. It was such an entertaining production, but... the Drury Lane is just such a great venue. The theater itself, the restaurant, the lounge area outside, it is a wonderful, wonderful experience that you are matching this for the upcoming season with some great shows that are coming up. Before we talk about what's there right now, real quick, tell us what's coming for 26-27.
I would love to. And I think one of the things that you hit on that makes Drury Lane very special is the Drury Lane experience. We're the one place where you can come, you could get a drink, you can have a beautiful meal, and you can go to the theater all in one space. And it just makes for a wonderful night. So we're so excited to announce our 26-27 2027 season. It's taken a lot of thought and care to come up with, and we hope that our audience is excited to see it too. In true Drury Lane fashion, we're going to open the season with Father of Bride, which is a beloved movie based on a play. And so we will be doing the original play, which is set in the 1950s during wedding season at Drury Lane, which is a wonderful tie-in for this incredible show. And it's going to be directed by Michael Heitzman, who directed our 42nd Street in 2017. So we're excited to welcome him back. Following that, we're doing the insane, crazy Nonsense. This is going to be really exciting to have on our stage and such a fun evening. And I'm so happy to announce that Ife Butler will be directing that production. She was in it for years. And we're excited to have her do that. In fact, she was talking about how she still has two of her habits from the production she did in her closet. And I'm like, Ife, you got your opening night costume right there.
She is one of my favorite Chicago performers.
And she's a phenomenal director, too. Really is.
Yeah.
So super excited about that. Following that, we're doing Buddy Holly, the Buddy Holly story. Director for that, we're still working on, but we're excited because our audience is really responding, as you can tell with the Always Patsy Cline and with Ring of Fire that we did before that. They love the music of these performers, but they also love getting the whole story. So we're very excited to bring that to stage. Our holiday show will be a production of Annie, the beloved Annie, and bringing that exciting musical to stage for families is wonderful, and I'm happy to announce that Scott Weinstein, who did our Little Mermaid, did our Ring of Fire, and our Rock of Ages, will be directing that, and I think he'll bring such heart and such warmth to this already beautiful, endearing production.
That's a great show for the whole family. For holiday time, opportunity for all generations, the whole a big family get-together to come out to the Drury Lane to see this show. And with a show like Annie, of course, everybody knows the words to the songs. You're going to be singing along and just having the best time. And that's November. This is for 2026 now. November 4th through January 10th of 2026. This coming holiday season. And then after that, into the new year, 2027, something pretty spectacular is coming as well.
Yes, we're doing 9 to 5, and we're very excited about that. It was a wonderful movie. Everybody loves it. The musical is also very exciting. The music is by Dolly Parton. And so it's just sort of a great girl power show. Come in, bring your friends, bring your family. That amazing story, and we're still working on the director for that one. I think we've got a great season.
That's a great lineup. But playing at the Drury Lane right now is another classic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are on stage live right now in Dial M for Murder. It is a new version adapted by Jeffrey Hatcher of Alfred Hitchcock's original movie and the original play. And audiences are really, really enjoying it. It's a thriller, but there's a lot of comedy in it and a lot of, you think you know what's going to happen, then you find out another piece, then you find out another piece, and by the end, you're like, wow. Wow. So it's not a traditional murder mystery, it's more of a thriller, and our audiences are really along for the ride and having a great time.
Yeah, and again, the Drury Lane, as a venue for a show like this is really kind of the perfect size venue. You don't feel like you're a million miles away from the stage. You can, you know, see nuance in the performances, and you really feel like you're engaged in the show.
It's one of the things that I really love about our theater is even though we have over 900 seats in the space, there's not a bad seat in the house, and you're constantly connected to that emotion and energy that's coming off the stage. So I think that makes it special too.
Yeah, that's so fantastic. Don't you also have the Gloria Estefan musical that's coming out there as well?
We do, right before that, for our holiday season this year, starting in November and running through into January, we're doing Sister Act, which will be an amazing show. Also, Ife Butler is directing that one.
Oh, great.
And, yeah, we love Ife, so we're happy to have her with us. And then followed our closing show of the 25-26 season is the regional premiere of On Your Feet, the Gloria and Emilio Estefan story, and we could not be more excited about that. And that's being directed by Luis Delgado. And this show is very special to him. He's worked on it on Broadway. He's done the tours. And he's bringing a really incredible cast and team to this show.
That's fantastic. How can people get information and tickets for Dial M for Murder, which is playing now through October 26th, but also for the upcoming 26-27 season?
The best way to do that is to go onto our website and take a look, drylanetheater.com, and you can find all the information on the current shows that are for sale, the upcoming season, 26-27 season, and we've launched our membership, so you can renew your membership or you can buy a new membership. And if that's not working out for you, you can call our box office, and I have completely forgotten their phone number right
now. Just so happens I have it right here. It is 630-530-0111, 630-530-0111, or DruryLaneTheater.com, and that's theater spelled R-E, not E-R, R-E, yeah. .com, for the Drury Lane Theater and their amazing lineup that is coming out. Can't wait to see the shows. It sounds great. I'm glad you could join us today, Wendy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dean. We hope to see you back in our space again soon.
I had the best time out there. I definitely will be back soon. Wendy,
wonderful.
Wendy Stark Prey, the managing director at the Drury Lane in beautiful Oak Brook Terrace. Now, coming up after 11 o'clock, we're going to replay an interview that we did on our WGN-TV morning news with the children of the legendary Bob Newhart. As you probably heard, a street in Chicago was dedicated on Friday morning to Bob Newhart. We had his two daughters and son on with us on the WGN-TV morning news that morning. We'll share that conversation all coming right up.
The next scheduled news after our sports material this
get
half
it together.
Hour.
Get it together.
That's right. Swanee. I was about to say 11:30.
Swanee, we've got football. Management in the other studio.
Taking notes.
He is issuing together. Inter-office memorandum.
Okay. I got one. Said from now on when he's on the show, when we introduce him, he would like this music.
Music's my ears.
Yeah, whatever.
Sounds
not
very
bad
regal.
Enough that he's wearing a crown and royal robes.
I know.
Looks like he ate bluebonnet margarine in there.
He had an escort.
What's bluebonnet margarine?
He had a military escort in earlier this morning, a little after 8 o'clock.
No.
Well, I need people to throw the rose petals so I can walk. Come on, man! My feet can't touch the ground. Are you kidding me? How would that look?
Just like Dave Ennett, diva. Just like Dave Ennett. How's Dave Ennett doing?
He's good. He had
Northwestern,
nice call,
right?
Yeah. Friday night, the Wildcats evened up their record, got a nice win at home against Western Illinois. More like it after an opening game defeat on the road. So, yeah, Dave's happy doing his Cats.
So cool for you, now sports director and morning news anchor,
mm-hmm.
to be following in his footsteps.
It's
to have somebody
who's
kind of set the bar.
He did set the bar.
As great, you know, as like the consummate professional. How great for you.
Yeah, I'm just hoping.
Step into that.
I'm just hoping not to mess it up. But yeah, I mean, the thing about Dave was that you could never complain about how hard you were working if he was working harder.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
He never really took time off and wants to do as many of those games as he possibly can. That's his passion. He loves it. He loved working here every day as well.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, and he's, you know, going to be an example of that because he's on Morning Sports tomorrow.
Yep.
With Surratt.
Right.
He's on hosting Happen OB tomorrow night.
At 6.
And then they're not going to get done at least till 3 in the morning.
We wish. If it was 3 in the morning, it'd be an easier decision not to go home.
Right, right, right.
But we're going to probably get done around 11:30, midnight. And,
right. And then you're going to turn right back around and be on with Surratt again the
correct.
Next morning.
Correct, correct. Yeah, I mean, I look forward to that. It's just, I just enjoy it. This is a real good time of year, too, because you got the pennant races heating up in baseball. Right. The Cubs are a part of things in the playoff chase. And now all this intrigue surrounding what Ben Johnson is going to be able to do for the Bears.
It's going to be an interesting year.
Yeah, and I can't wait to, you know, to see that first game and watch what the offense will look like. You know, obviously it's not going to be a complete picture, I don't think, you know, first game. I'm not one of those guys that they're thinking, okay, well, he's the magic elixir that he's going to be able to just come in here and fix everything right away. You know, you have to get everybody there's a difference between preseason and the regular season, obviously, the speed is a little bit up, and you're facing everybody's starting lineups. And it's not like you're facing the number twos or number threes like you are in the preseason. But I'm just looking for improvements. I'm looking for improvements, and obviously they only won 5 games last year, so more than that would be welcome.
It can only get better.
It can only get better, and we just want to make Happen be happy. Yeah.
Right.
What the hell are you talking about?
I know. I'm going to hear that a few times tomorrow, I'm sure.
Richards, WGN. They have renamed the street, that stretch, Bob Newhart Way. And, boy, it was great. So many people showed up for the street sign unveiling. And Bob Newhart's kids, Schwani, were there.
I saw your story on this.
Yeah, Timothy, Jennifer, and Courtney, 3 of his 4 kids, were able to come to town to be there for the street sign dedication. And, you know, they talked about their dad and, you know, what a normal dad he was. And, you know, I could tell you from my own personal experience of interviewing him for decades, what a great guy Bob Newhart was. And that just, you know, kept coming out over and over and over and over from everybody who spoke, you know, how grounded he was. And, you know, part of what I said at the ceremony was that he never lost his Chicagoness. He was born in Oak Park, raised in Chicago, went to school here, St. Ignatius, Loyola, started his work here, really began his career in comedy here as well, before it took off and skyrocketed to where he became a worldwide comedy legend. So how great that you know, had this wonderful honor of you know, and anytime you drive by there now, you'll see the street sign that says Bob Newhart Way. Very, very nice. That morning on our WGN TV morning news, Bob Newhart's kids, Timothy, Jennifer, and Courtney, joined us over at the Channel 9 studios and just reflected about, you know, what the whole thing meant and how they felt about the whole thing. This is what it sounded like.
A small sampling of the genius of Bob Newhart, who will always be a comedy legend. This morning at 11 o'clock, the Emmy, Grammy, Golden Globe, Mark Twain Prize for American Humor recipient will be honored by the city of Chicago. The stretch of North Sheridan Road between Ardmore and Thorndale Avenues will be designated as Bob Newhart Way. That's the building that we saw at the opening of the Chicago native sitcom, The Bob Newhart Show, the high rise where Bob and Emily, Suzanne Plachette, lived. 3 of Bob's children will be on hand for the unveiling, Timothy, Jennifer, and Courtney, and they join us this morning. Guys, welcome. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
What do you 3 think of when you see your dad in his prime, just hilariously funny, Tim?
Looking at these clips and the opening segment of the original show from the 70s, it's like, I just think you could take the Chicago boy out of Chicago. You know, it's like he's just, seeing him walk around the streets of Chicago, it's like he's... That's who he is and always was, you know.
But yeah.
Jennifer, was he funny at home? Was he dad?
He was
take
dad.
The garbage out.
Yeah, well, kind of maybe a smattering of both.
Yeah.
You know, he was dad, but definitely watching that brings back a ton of memories.
And Courtney, yeah. you were the youngest of the four kids, so you were on the tail end of his success, so your experience might be different than your older siblings.
Absolutely, yeah. They always reminded me that I held up production on the Bob Newhart show. They're waiting for me to be born.
So talk about, you know, your home life. You must have had celebrities in and out. He famously was great friends with Don Rickles, and Buddy Hackett's the one who introduced your parents. Is that a true story?
That is absolutely true. Yeah.
I was saying to Dean the other night that, it's the comics marriages for some reason. Our parents were married for 60 years, and I think Buddy was 55 and the Rickles was 58. Like, comedy was the foundation of our family. You know, it really was. So, you know.
They knew how to have fun.
But at the same time, they kept it very normal. Like, we had, family dinners, and, they did have friends, but the friends that would come over, we knew them as, Uncle Don and Aunt Barbara. So they kept it pretty normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tim, you were telling me on my radio show the other day of how important Chicago was to your dad, and in particular the Cubs, right?
Yeah. It was... So I would say living in L.A., you see a lot of celebrities, like we were talking about earlier, and we just never fell into those trappings. And so my hero was Vin Scully, the broadcaster.
Yeah.
And that came from my dad's hero was Jack Brickhouse, the voice of the Cubs, and it was I think it was people who reflected certain Midwest values and, things we believed in, My parents pushed the right values, I'd say.
Yeah. How tough is that to hold on to when you move out of Chicago, you move out west to Los Angeles, which I hear is an okay city.
Hey. They still took us to church on Saturday.
Yeah.
You sounds like you had a very, very grounded relationship. Do you attribute that to your mom as well?
I think both. Yeah. Mom was definitely, kind of kept everything together. She was the heart of the operation.
Yeah, and we make it sound easy. I'm sure it was incredibly difficult.
Right. We have some great family photos, I think, that your dad posted on his Facebook page that ran in People magazine a while back when I think he got the Emmy for that appearance in The Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. So I think we have some old photos here.
These are just
great.
There it is.
I do, that character he played on The Big Bang Theory, that had to start a whole resurgence
for him, wasn't it?
It was brilliant,
that
right?
That was amazing,
For his grandkids, too.
Yeah.
That was the thing. It's like, we'd tell him historically about the sitcoms, and it's like, they're the grandkids right there. They're like... Dad did Elf because he knew he was going to end up with 10 grandkids.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, those are great.
What was it like, in the house? He, famously was, kind of stammery and, low-key. Was it like that? I mean, is that his real personality?
he had to stay on TV, so I'd say his personality was a little more twisted off TV than it was on.
That's the part I want to know.
I'm not mentioning it here. Yeah.
Courtney, I'm imagining, Don Rickles coming over for a family dinner. What was that like? Are these two riffing off each other all the time?
Did he call you a hockey puck?
He was my godfather, so I was never as afraid of him as I should have been. I saw other people afraid of him. But I think growing up with him, you just get used to it. And there was definitely a dynamic there. He was kind of, the loud one, and my dad kind of quietly got in his little shots here and there. So
if he did make fun of you, it meant he didn't like you. So he made fun of us relentlessly.
Oh, yeah.
We loved him back.
Aww.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about... your dad's comedy achievements and the legacy that he left.
Well, I guess to get a little personal, we're sort of like talking about what do we do with all these awards that dad has had. And I think we've sort of talked about who gets what. And for me personally, I'll speak of myself. He was very proud of his Mark Twain Award because his comic hero was Richard Pryor, who was the first recipient of the Kennedy Center Award for Comedy.
Wow.
And the Peabody Award was the other thing I claimed, because he was proud of, he was a writer, too. Yeah. And he was very proud of what he wrote.
I read his album in 1960, beat Elvis and The Sound of Music.
And Sinatra.
Mm-hmm. That's insane. Wow. Right?
Yeah,
I'd be proud of that.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's amazing. The Button Down Mine album won not Comedy Album of the Year, Album of the Year.
Wow.
It's the only time a comedy album has ever That's won crazy. The top award at the Grammys.
Yeah, he also had the record for the first consecutive second, number one and number two, which was beaten by Guns N' Roses.
Your religion, yeah.
If you're going to lose the record to anybody, it better be a friend.
Oh, it's so great. Thank you all for coming out.
Thank you so much. It's
so nice of you to be here.
Yeah, there is Timothy, Jennifer, and Courtney. Bob Newhart, three of Bob Newhart's four kids, Bob and Ginny's four kids that were on our WGN-TV morning news this past Friday. That's the day that the street sign was unveiled that proclaimed a piece of North Sheridan Road between Thorndale and Ardmore, Bob Newhart Way. And shout out to John Holden, who is president of the Edgewater Historical Society. He has been working on getting this stretch named for Bob for quite a long time. So it was a big deal for the people in the building itself, but also for the Edgewater Historical Society. That's a great neighborhood. And so great that, you know, we can always remember Bob Newhart up there. Also, don't forget, the Bob Newhart statue, which is at the end of Navy Pier. Bob sitting, you know, and you can go sit on the couch like in his first sitcom, The Bob Newhart Show, where he was a psychologist. So great memories of Bob Newhart, a wonderful man. We'll wrap things up and get ready for some NFL football coming up next.